phone, I'd have got up.
Do you remember that moment? So the receptionist, I mean, I'm looking at this receptionist like, I used to work here. That was the place where dead people went. Oh, they renovated the whole place. It's all brand new. So Victor and I went downstairs to visit Tony. There was more laughing, more giddy up and stuff. You could imagine. It was almost like they put Tony as far away in the corner as you could find him. Probably so the rest of the patients can get some peace and quiet. Remember that? That was fun, wasn't it?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
They tried to kill me, brother.
They did there?
Yeah.
They didn't do a very good job.
That hurt. God wouldn't let him. It wasn't time.
God wouldn't let him. Right. No, sir. Tony's got to be one of my best friends in all the world. Amen. He and his family. Love you, grandkids. Love your family. Love your wife. And you're always a friend here. You know that.
Amen.
I'm going to let Tony introduce what he's doing. He's in, they say it, Rochester. When you live there, when you live here, it's Rochester. We came out here, said Lancaster. We had to be corrected over and over again. Because they don't speak here the way they do there. It's different. So anyway, it's all yours.
I'll come on one condition. You got to help me with this song. All you got to do is repeat after me, okay? I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen. All right. Get my glasses here. Yvonne's glasses. I can't touch the glass. She told me that. How'd you know? Anyhow, I did script something for the sake of time. I went carry away here. I paid for them, right? So I guess they're mine. Baby, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that, baby. God, I'm going to hear it all the way home. Rich, you got me in trouble again. FBBC. Lancaster, you are a home away from our other home, FBBC Rochester. We're back. And some of you might be saying, why so soon? You've been here twice already this year. I'm glad you asked. I was scheduled to be at Calvary Heights Baptist Church this morning, so I called your pastor and I asked him if he would allow me to come over and to give an update. I haven't done that in a long time. And also to give a testimony concerning the God's Gladiators ministry. And your pastor said, yes. And he also said, would you like to preach? And of course I said, no, of course I didn't. I said, yes. And so we're here today. So much for notes, because I've lost where I was. Well, certainly hope that will be a blessing to you. I brought brown sugar with me. And so, baby, just say hello. All right. she doesn't have a lot. Listen, she doesn't speak a whole lot until she opens her mouth. But anyhow, you can use that, brother. I missed that. But anyhow, my brown sugar cubes aren't with me tonight. And boy, I tell you what, they've been starting. The two granddaughters have been singing with me on the road. And when they start singing, I might just go get in the corner, brother, because they take over. They are really, really good. And so you missed a treat this time, and we'll remember to bring them next time. It's hard for Teresa to get them up from school after coming out, you know, and I used to try to encourage them to do that. She said, Dad, I can't do it anymore. And so they're not here tonight. Keep them in prayer. Amen. One other thing I wanted to mention. Let's open a song and a prayer simultaneously. Inviting the Lord into our fellowship again. I don't want to be guilty of us hearing him knocking at the door and asking to open the door so he can come in. I think he's already here. Amen. I know that he is. But wouldn't hurt to ask him again. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. And while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I'm crying, Savior, oh Savior, hear my humble cry. And while on others thou art calling, do not pass us by, trusting only in thy merit. Would I see thy face, heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save us by thy grace. Sing with me, come on. I'm crying, Savior, oh Savior, hear our humble cry. Bow on others thou art calling. Do not pass us by. Well, praise the Lord. The first thing I'd like to do tonight is read a missionary update letter. And brother, I've been editing this all day, so you can't have this. I have to email it to you, okay? And then you can edit it. But anyhow, to Pastor Shear and our brother and sisters at FBBC Lancaster, greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As always, when we think of you, we thank God for your fellowship or partnership with us in the gospel from the first day until now. Finally, here's a long overdue update concerning me, my family, and my ministry as an evangelist. Let me first update you concerning our health. Yvonne is still on the mend from the heart attack and stroke she experienced six years ago, almost to the day. Yvonne has not fully recovered yet. However, we praise God for the healing she has experienced as a result of much prayer being made worldwide, literally all over the world, and of course, from here at FBBC. Yvonne is still on a great deal of medication. Please pray that the Lord will wean her off some or all of those medications according to his will. Amen. As most of you know, I've been diagnosed with a type 2 bipolar disorder, at least like symptoms. A disorder that I have experienced all my life. However, I praise God, I am now being treated from a holistic perspective, emphasizing the healing of my spirit, soul, and body. I've adopted the Apostle Paul's attitude about my infirmity, an attitude found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. Paul prayed three times for the Lord to heal him. The Lord's response was, "My grace is sufficient." Paul's response, in essence, was that he would rather have God's grace than healing. Isn't that powerful? And I really feel that way, folks. Paul knew that the Lord was using this infirmity to encourage him to abide in him. Depend on his strength. Like Paul, my infirmity has become my blessed burden. Pray for me that I would continue to abide in him. Amen. Teresa and her daughters are doing well, with the exception of experiencing a variety of allergy-related illnesses. Pray about that, please. It's giving Teresa fits. We thank and praise God that Teresa, our resident registered nurse, she went to the, because she graduated, but she has sacrificed herself to minister to the family. I didn't put this in the letter, but let me say this. She's always telling me, Dad, I feel bad. I'm not out there. And I'm telling you because you're family. She heard about this. Don't tell her. She wouldn't let me have it. She's tougher on me than that woman, believe it or not. Lord, have mercy. But anyhow, I said, baby, you're getting the best OJT in the world. You're doing required unto your parents. Baby, you're taking care of it. You're saving our life, literally. I'm telling you, she does. And what does she doesn't know about? She's on that computer, man. She's studying it. And she's been doing this for 7-8 years. And now she has opportunity, you know, to really think about herself. And she understands now being a nurse is a ministry for her. I'm telling you, world, look out. That lady, next to her, she's the most awesome lady. And don't tell Kia, because she is too. That's my other daughter. You would too. I hope God changes your mind. But we thank and praise God that Teresa, our resident registered nurse, is doing an amazing job as our caregiver. Hebrews 6:10 definitely implies to her, her labor is a labor of love. Concerning my ministry as an evangelist, I have been on a semi-sabbatical. I have not taken on many preaching engagements for the past 7 months for health-related reasons. I was experiencing a really major period of depression right after the high that I had when I preached with you guys a few months ago. And I got into a place where, you know, I allowed the enemy to just open. I opened the door for him to come in and just put his foot right on my neck. He had me thinking that I had never accomplished anything positive. Never, nothing. And so what I did is I just kind of stayed to myself, self-centered. And Yvonne was telling me, I'm getting sick of your highs. I'm getting sick of your lows. She said, Tony, when you're feeling high, act like you're low. When you're feeling low, act like you're high. She said, that's where you'll find your imbalance. She's a good lady. Got a lot of wisdom, man. All of it don't come from books, but she usually nails it. I tried it. Kind of worked. But anyhow, concerning my ministry as a manager, I had been on a semi-sabbatical. I hadn't taken on many preaching engagements for the past 7 months for health-related reasons. Other health-related reasons as well. I'm just breaking down, folks. I'm doing better now. But now that my spirit, soul, and body has been revived, my attitude more than ever is to begin finishing well by abiding in Christ. Please look forward to my next update letter in January for details concerning our health and my ministry, what I have done, what am I doing, and what I plan to do for God's glory. Amen. You know, so far in the dumps, Pastor Mike, he told me once, he said, Tony, don't dispel in the darkness what God has shown in the light. Because I had gotten to a place where I felt, well, you know, there's such a push around Christendom, you know, to hurry up and get these young guys in. What are you going to do with us baby boomers? Don't you realize that when the baby boomers are gone, it's all over? He might as well rapture us, man, because it's a total loss. But anyhow, all kidding aside, you know, I was at a place where I talked to Pastor Pesky and I said, listen, man, I shouldn't probably be talking to you right now because I'm in a depressed state. He knew it because he watches me like a hawk. He watches everybody. Uncanny. And I said, well, let me just take a sabbatical. And he said, why don't you, Tony? But then come back with some practical, pragmatic reasons about what you're going to do with this condition. So it took me 3 months to write that up. I'm going to send you that letter, Pastor, and you can see what I'm doing about this whole perspective. But anyhow, so look forward to that update letter. Are we doing okay so far? Now, when I spoke here on the armor of God, I spoke here last time, I spoke on the armor of God. In promoting the Gladiators ministry, when I came, I couldn't download the pictures. And someone once said that one picture can speak louder than, how many words? 1,000 words. Let's see if that's true. So why don't we show that thing, brother? And I'm editing as I speak because I have a sermonette that I'm going to give you before we close. And I'm going to keep with the schedule. I'm going to try. I'll do it. You be quiet. How did you know I needed you to find that page for me? Because I really didn't know any. That's the only verse I knew in that song. But that was good. But anyhow, Ryan does a good job, doesn't he? Boy, I tell you what, he can Photoshop. Now, he didn't have to do that for Yvonne, but boy, he had to do it for me. So anyhow, let's roll this thing. Next picture. That's a good one, too. Next picture. That's a good one, too. That's two. Is that it? That's a good one, too. Yeah. Okay. He loaded all of them, didn't he? Keep going, brother. Of course, you know who that is. He wanted to start a minute, and you know who that is. You know who that is. He wanted to get in the picture. Okay. All right. Keep rolling. Keep rolling. Did he send you the right ones? Let's keep rolling. Is that it? Keep rolling. Keep rolling. Keep rolling. Come on. Come on. He thought, I didn't know they had that in there. It was 30 degrees out when he did that, wasn't it? Excuse me. He said, be still, Yvonne. Yvonne said, no, Brian, hurry up. Keep going. Is it? All right, so we didn't get it this time either, but that's okay. I started a ministry in Rochester, and this is kind of explaining it. And, Pastor, you weren't here that day, but the folks that were here, they were here and they heard my heart. They heard the passion that I had for this particular ministry. Remember that, Vic? And I really kind of broke down. I kind of lost it emotionally. Not that I'm an emotional guy, but anyhow. And we introduced the Gladiators ministry. And I was hoping to have those pictures for him. I guess I'm going to have to come back again and get this thing done. But anyhow, let me explain the Gladiators ministry to you and literature I have here. God's Gladiators is a Christ-centered discipleship or mentoring ministry. It was founded in 1993 by Evangelist Anthony Saxon when I was serving as senior pastor of Charity Bible Baptist Church from April 1992 through February 2012. Some aspects of this ministry, this Gladiators ministry, has been and are still being used by people of all ages to help those who are faithful to its disciplines be more Christ-like. Spiritually, physically speaking, a gladiator is a person who is equipped with physical armor and weapons. They are then trained to fight and or defend themselves from others to entertain their audience. And I had to make this distinction. Spiritually speaking, God's gladiators ministry are soldiers in God's spiritual army who are equipped with spiritual armor. Ephesians 6:10 through 18. They too are then trained to defend themselves and to fight against their spiritual enemies to the glory of God. Our vision is God's. And any vision that's not God's is your own and is going to fail. Amen? Our vision is God's. It is to see his gladiators conform to the image or likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now we understand, amen. I know that you do in this church. That's probably primarily the reason why God saved us. Amen. Primarily so that we can experience the ultimate intimate relationship with him. The intimate, we preached on this, and I'll go ahead and kind of review this real quickly. The ultimate intimate relationship with God is the epitome of all other relationships. It's one experienced by the Godhead. These three are one. It is the essence of Christianity. John chapter 17, verse 4. And Jesus said, this is life eternal, that we might know him and the Father and his Son. Amen. Know him intimately, that we might experience the same type of relationship he has with the Godhead. That's the essence of Christianity. It's a relationship that was exemplified by Christ in his humanity. When Philip asked him, show us the Father, he said, don't you know me by now? He that has seen me has seen the Father, because the Father is living his life through me. The words that I speak, the things that I do, it's not me, it's the Father. He exemplified that type of relationship. Then he explained what the relationship was all about. And he said in John chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth. I'm mixing up two verses. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. He explained this ultimate intimate relationship as an abiding relationship. And we already know what it means to abide. It basically means this, to begin through salvation and continue to remain in close fellowship with the Lord. Now, Edie, you want to know how long? I'm glad you asked. Until God enables us to bear the only fruit his Spirit produces, the likeness of Jesus. That's Christianity. It's a relationship that is not only the epitome of all other relationships. It's a relationship that is not only exemplified by Christ in the essence of salvation. It's also the relationship that Jesus explained, and it's the one that he encourages us to experience. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup or have fellowship with him and he with me. And it's a relationship that he exhorts us to have before he returns. John said this, speaking by the Spirit, and now, little children, abide in him, that you may have confidence and not be ashamed at his appearing. The only way that you're not going to be ashamed when Jesus returns is you have to be abiding in him. Now watch this, and those who do, he's going to offer you a seat at his throne. Those who allow him to be seated on the throne of our hearts with his Father in heaven. Are you with me? I don't know how I got that bunny trail, but it gave me opportunity. Because we were talking about, I know how, we were talking about what we're going to try to encourage these young people, to under anybody, because the Gladiators ministry is for anybody of any age, any color, male, female. It's just that broad, brother. And so our mission is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love people as Jesus does, to serve others in love, and to tell everyone about God's love. The purpose for this ministry, for God's Gladiators ministry, is to teach our members biblically and by personal example how to learn and apply the spiritual disciplines that help them to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. This ministry will also provide spiritual family relations with God as our Father and we as members of God's family, opportunities for one-on-one discipleship or mentoring within our family, and a positive alternative to negative gang membership, which is satanically influenced. Now, let me stop doing so much reading. I want you guys to go to sleep. Because I would. But anyhow, with all that reading. As a pastor of charity, for years, we worked with young people. Right, babe? We had outreaches. I mean, we had big outreaches, man. We were renowned for that in that little old church in that area. You've been over in that area. We used that whole field, brother. You know, we're right next to the rec center, and it was like ours. Pastor Bill Finnerty from Open Door Baptist Church in Rochester, he came one day and he stood on the hill. He said, Pastor Tony, you got what every church is trying to get. Look at this field. Look at the gym. I mean, you got access to all this. I said, I know it. But we lead these folks to Christ. We take them over to Summer's Best Days, over at the First Bible, ship them out. You come back, and many of them, I mean a great many of them, we'd lose them, and they'd wind up on the corner in gangs. Now, I'm talking about a very infamous place, Avenue D in Conkey, a place where Bobby Bonner said, when he came to preach for me, he said, Tony, I would rather be in the streets of, in the jungles of Zambia, South Africa, than to be on the streets of Avenue D. He said, the devil's trying to wipe out black people, Tony. He's trying to wipe out everybody. He said, but not like your race. Well, I would rather be on the streets of Avenue D than the jungles of Zambia, even though I know that the animals don't shoot back. No, seriously. And we've seen some shootings. We've had one shooting that was right in front of our house. Kid got shot 9 times, my neighbor's kid. And he lived, and he thinks he's 50 Cent. You know 50 Cent is a rapper that got shot 9 times? He's starting to feel those bullets now. He still got some of them in him. And I saw him get the he got shot 6 times with guys standing right over him with a mask on. The guy thought he killed him. And I was just by that time I was getting off the toilet. I was in the bathroom. And he said, "Don't you go to that window, stay away from it. You know you're gonna get involved." I said, "I gotta see what's going on." He pulls up his mask and the kid jumps up and he starts running. Like Jim Brown. "Mama, mama." "No, Brandy, those are my kids." And the guy unloaded across the street with a .45 and shot him 3 more times. Bill Finnerty, the cop on the block, came over and said, "Tony, do you know the kid?" I said, "Yeah, I know him." I said, "Have you ever witnessed?" I said, "Yeah, I've had him in my living room." He said, "Talk to him again right now because he's leaving here." I go over and he's sitting on the stoop, blood just gushing out of the wounds. And I said, "Brandon, Mr. Saxon, I'm dying. I can't see." And he started blacking out. Me and his mother prayed over him. I don't know if God brought him back to life. I don't know. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and with whom he wants to. We know that the guy lived. He's still alive. I said all that to say, and I don't have time to detail some of the things that we've seen as far as this gunfire. We had one, I remember, I don't know if I got to repeat this again because you probably forgot. But anyhow, there was one. Remember we had that ambush on our street, babe? We had just gotten home, and there was a gang war. And a bunch of cars chased this guy down our street, and they had some people waiting for him on the other end. And he saw the ambush, and he veered over, and he hit a tree right in front, about 4 houses down from our house. And they walked over, broad daylight. I didn't see this part. And they shot him right in the head. My neighbor and his family was outside watching it. So we see that kind of activity. You talk about people being killed, still, and destroyed, even as we speak. I believe without doubt that the greatest mission field in the world are the streets, the inner cities of the United States. I believe that. I don't have to go to Africa. I'd like to go. But I'd rather be at home. The Gladiators Ministry provides a ministry tool not only to lead folks to Christ, Pastor, but also to disciple them, to live where they live. Now, the devil doesn't like the ministry. And so one of the things that I do, and I was going to take time to read this letter, but I'd rather you did. I drafted a letter soliciting or asking other churches in the body of Christ at large to come over to Macedonia or Rochester to help us. Because this is a spiritual battle. And, you know, things are easy street right now, but they're going to get a little bit tougher. And I know that. I'd like for the body of Christ to pray more than anything else. Pray with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And pray for me that utterance. And I detail all of that in this letter, and I'm going to send that to your pastor. And I also detailed a prayer list concerning the Gladiators Ministry, 15 things I'd like you to pray for specifically. We're not at the place where we're at a place where we know exactly how, because it's developing as we go. I just can't wait and do it anymore because I don't want this door to close. And right now, there's something about to happen that could close this door. And part of it's my fault. Know that and please pray about it. Pastor Kevin Caleb, he told me, I shared this burden with him last year. And I love that brother. Pray for him and his dad. You know his dad is going through, he's really dying, cancer. Yeah. Tremendous pain. Young man, I'd love him to pieces, man. He said, "Tony, come and visit me and tell me exactly what you need." Well, start praying. Start praying. And I'll share with you some specifics because I expect you guys to help out even more specifically, even as you do now. Because when you help me, you're helping the ministry. Look at her. Isn't she just lovely? No, Yvonne, I mean that. That was a signal. What does that mean? Stop looking. One of the horsemen. But anyhow. One of the four horsemen. But anyhow. Two. Three. Listen, if we get hit by lightning tonight, it's not because I was on time. Whoever's listening to this, man, they have to be here to fully understand. It ain't a joke. Sometimes it ain't funny. Lord have mercy. Look what you stirred up. But anyhow, you know, I was going to read the letter, but the Lord told me not to. And so I'm glad I listened. You know, I tell you what, I'm starting to hear him speak more clearly. You know, when you think God is telling you to do something, if it's something good, you can almost mark it down as him. Because it ain't coming from your flesh. And you might as well do it, even if he didn't say it. Because he'll honor that. Make any sense, brother? Boy, you get that when you're abiding. When you're abiding in him, he goes before you, man. He puts people in your path that you're thinking about. He tells you who to, I mean, he just directs your path. Anyhow, what else should I do, Lord? So you'll be hearing more about the Gladiators ministry. I don't have my schedule. I'm getting tired of going up and down. I'll go down one more time, and then I'm going to come and sit. I want to find out what the schedule is like here. I'm supposed to be done by 6:15. Huh? You got them? Well, okay. This is Chuck. I'm dedicating the Gladiators ministry to him. He's one of the guys at the recreation center. Loves kids. Okay, next view. Okay, this is one of the guys that said he's going to help me out in the Gladiators ministry. Of course, see that guy over to the left? I'm not that big now. I'm shrinking. Not just getting shorter, but I'm losing weight on purpose. But anyhow, keep going. All right, he's speaking. And now you see me back? The world's greatest dad. I'm just a big kid, man. And this is another young man. He said he's going to be part of it, but he's gone to the wayside. Now look at that. That's my neighbor. Isn't she just cute? Ryan, guess he does a great job, doesn't he? Okay. Cool. Of course, she recognized Jamia, and I don't know who that nut is in the middle. Maybe that's Bill Cosby. Yvonne said that. She said I look like Fat Albert. I don't know. But that's Jamia. And one of the kids, he wanted to make sure we do that in there with the rec center. You've been in the rec center, Pastor. Of course, that's me in front of the old church that I used to pastor. These are some of the guys that are on this. These are some of the gang members that went to Summer's Best Days when it first got started. And this is like 10, 12 years ago. And I showed them a picture, a book about some of the pictures they took at Summer's Best Days. And they started calling all these are gangsters, man. Right in the corner of Avenue and Conkey, right there on the corner. And they were calling everybody, hey, yo, look at this, man. Look at this. Look at Red, what you know. But anyway, go ahead. Who's bigger, me or Biscuit? You know, when I first made up that logo, that shirt, I brought it home. My granddaughter, Jania, she started laughing. And I said, what are you laughing about? She said, Grandpa, you got your shirt on backwards. She said, that should be in the back. And Yvonne said, Tony, listen to your granddaughter. She's right. She said, that looks ridiculous. And so we changed it. Amen. And what did we do? We did something. But anyhow, here's some more of those guys on the street. Now, this guy here was, this guy, I had to defend him one time when he murdered somebody. And the Lord judge let him off for self-defense. Good kid. Wrong crowd. They want to take a picture of that picture. And I just love them to death. And they love me. They know I love them, man. I mean, but they just never had another alternative. Keep going. Of course, this is the courts out in the back. You saw that, Rich. Okay. And here I am praying over that community, man. It's in my heart. You know, I tell you, to be honest with you, I feel like I have more opportunity to reach that Avenue D community where I live and work than I had as a pastor. I'm a better fit in the body as an evangelist. I see that now. I have no desire. God took the desire away from me to be a pastor. I want to support pastors. Let them have all the other grief. Lord, have mercy. You know, Paul talked about, you know, the churches, and he talked about the burdens or something he used to say the churches, the care of the church. Churches, one's enough. Amen. So much for bishops, man. I would never do that. But anyhow, that's in front of my house. Of course, that's me praying over the city. And of course, there's brown sugar. Look at that. Amen. That's about it. Good job, man. Thank you. You can put that on a junk drive for me if you have one. Give the tab to your pastor. For the drunk drive. I didn't say drunk drive, I meant junk drive. Okay, so I've got about 20 minutes for the sermonette. You guys, you want to stand up and sing a song or do something? You want to do some calisthenics? Brother, you want to bring them do some calisthenics or something? No. Well, listen, let me get right into the message then. Lord, what do you want us to do? Let's sing a song. Take time to be holy. You want to play that for us? Would you play in the key that I can sing? Don't play it too high because, you know, I just can't get up there.
You might have to adjust your voice.
You know what I do when that happens? I don't get the key until the last verse of the song. But anyhow, 441. You guys, you might want to stand. You don't all have to stand if you don't want to, but it might help to stand. Oh, there's two of them. Which one has four verses? Okay, it's that one. You know already, don't you? Be seated. I'd like to close with a sermonette over the next 15-16 minutes entitled Begin finishing well? Sound familiar? That was my next question. The text is Philippians chapter 3. I want you to turn there. Verses 13 through 17. And when you get there, say amen. Now, in case I misquote this, somebody be there to finish up for me. I don't want to misquote the word of God. But I plan on preaching this message being really, you're going to laugh when I say this, I really didn't sit and prepare and plan the message. I just wanted to talk to you from my heart tonight. So I'm just going to trust God to, I want to be swift to hear God speak and slow to talk. So I'm going to listen to him tell me what to say to you tonight. Is that all right? Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to, did he say finally, brethren? How's that verse start? Brethren, I count not myself that I have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, is that I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. And if anyone be otherwise minded, God will even show this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be you followers together of me, and mark them which walk, as you have us for ensamples. Begin finishing well. You know when that thing was birthed into my heart, amen? Right here, 6 years ago, was the theme of the conference we had here. It was 6 years ago when Yvonne experienced a stroke and a heart attack. Our first visitor in the hospital, other than my oldest son, was that man right there. All the way from Buffalo. I mean, he was like Johnny on the spot. God spared you, man. You should have got some speeding tickets that day. Because I don't think it takes about an hour to get here to my doorstep. And he was there in at least an hour. He dropped everything. We're eternally grateful, brother. That's one of the reasons why I call you my pastor. I got many pastors. He's one of them. And you remember, Yvonne was fresh out of the hospital. And we came with our little car, didn't have any heat in the dead of winter. Remember that, brother? And we had to figure out how to get the thing started, how to get the key out. And we came every night, back and forth to Rochester. A couple of nights, you put us over. And people were just shaking their head. How did this, Yvonne's just a tough chick, man. A lady, woman, horseman, something. My baby, brown sugar. Yes, dear. Okay, I'm in trouble. What are you? We came, didn't we? And that thing was birthed in my heart. And I didn't fully understand it. I knew it knowledgeably, but not experientially. And Pastor Mike Metz's got the same theme in his office. Have you seen that, brother? Well, he's got another. He's got a frame. Maybe he got the frame from you. You're pretty good at framing stuff. And anyhow, we have come to the place that the Apostle Paul came to, and many other saints, perhaps especially those in the Bible's Faith Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11, folks like Enoch and Abraham and David and Samson. It took him his whole life to come to that place where he decided, listen, I'm going to begin finishing well. Enoch, you know, when he had his first child, he made up his mind. I'm going to begin finishing this race right now. You see, something has to happen in your life. You come to that place where God wants all of us to come to. That place where you made up in your mind through life circumstances, where you determine to forget those things which are behind. Now, it would seem to be easy to forget your failures more than successes, but I beg to differ, because the enemy is going to keep trying to remind you of them. And you just need to tell him, you know what, you're right. In this situation, you're telling the truth, but you're still a liar. And all that stuff is under the blood. We don't have time for me to get specific, and I'm glad, because I can get too transparent sometimes. But when I go into depression, and you've been there, you might have gone down to the depths that I've gone to. And praise God, I wasn't diagnosed bipolar one. And sometimes folks go to a place where they're harm to themselves and other people. I just harm myself. But you know, when I'm in depression, I'm harming my family, because they have to put up with the nonsense. I almost said something. The Lord told me to shut up, so I'm going to listen. And you would think, you know, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things. When he's talking about forgetting the things that are behind, now he's talking about this failure. He's also talking about the successes. And sometimes you can think you're arriving and think you're where you need to be. Paul said, not me. Because if you focus on your failures and your successes, man, they can all keep you from going forward. Paul made up his mind. He said, listen, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended or arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I'm going to focus on one thing for the rest of my life. Pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? To be conformed to the image of Christ, to be Christ-like. Just like Jesus. Paul came to that place. I'm at that place, man. Maybe it comes with age, because experience tells me, listen, Tony, you ain't going any further. You know, the issues that you're going with this up and down situation, it's going to kill you. Until you come to a place. I'm going to get ahead of myself. You're fully trusting in the Lord, abiding in Him. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth on those things before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say this. All those who are perfect. You know what he means? That perfection he's talking about maturity. Read that verse for me, please. Anybody in Philippians chapter 3? Go read it for me, brother.
Which one?
15, I think.
Let us therefore as many be perfect.
Let us therefore as many be perfect. He's talking about those who are mature. Those who have been seasoned, have learned some things. As many be perfect, be thus mine. Have the same mindset that Paul had. You see, those are the ones who will be able to come to that place in life and say, you know, I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and I'm going to reach forth on those things which are before. I'm going to press towards the mark for the prize of Christ. Listen, I'm going to do everything that I need to do to become like Jesus in this life, even though I know that the process of being conformed to the image of Christ has already been started, and day by day the Spirit of God is using every circumstance and situation in our life to bring us to the place where we can be conformed to Him. I'm going to still do my part in the process. Paul knew that he could not be like Christ totally and completely in this life. It's a process. He knew also that the best he can do to be like Christ in his life is to abide in Him. That is, to begin and continue to remain in close fellowship with Him. Until he enables, the Spirit of God enables us to bear the only fruit that he produces. And he produces the likeness of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 4. Verse 3. Well, let me quote the first four verses. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word I've spoken unto you, washing of the water of the word. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do everything. He didn't say that, did he? He said you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing to glorify God. Mm-hmm. And the best way to glorify God is to bear the fruit of the likeness of his Son, who is the glory of God. God will bring you to that place. Of having that desire to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The same place that he brought Paul to through life experiences. And you don't have to be 65-year-old to get there. The sooner you get there, the better. Just surrender. How old are you, baby? You. I don't mean to pick on you, but I hope you're receiving this. The sooner you get there, just surrender. You don't have to wear all the scars I got all over me. She'll tell you. She got some too. He said, those of us who are mature, experienced, have been around for a while, will be thus minded. And he goes on to say, and if you're not, God will remind you. Forget those things which are behind. Reach forth unto those things which are before. Press towards the mark. Before you do anything else. You know, Pastor Caleb preached a wonderful message this morning on loving God more than anything or anyone else. If you don't love him more than anything or anyone else, you cannot be his disciple. You cannot follow him. Impossible. There's a lot of truth, a lot of wisdom in that. He said, you know, unless you hate mother, father, brother, sister, in comparison with the love. In other words, he's not talking about literally hating, but he wants your love to be that strong to where you prefer him over anything, anyone else. Paul goes on to say, whereto we have already attained the resurrection, placed in the body of Christ. Let us walk by the same rule that Paul made in his life. Let us mind the same things. Then he goes on to say, and he had the audacity to say this, brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark those which walk. Mark those who are following me. Look around you. Those people that are following Christ, you follow them. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. Goodness, you know, I follow my grandkids. Some of the things that they say are so profound, Rich. Talisa, how old is Talisa? 6 years old? She said one day, I love my life. You know what that spoke to me? That we're not doing so bad after all. I love my home. We're encouraging her to follow Jesus. Baby, follow us as we follow Christ. That's the best we can do. But the next verse talks about those whose God is their belly. I think that's making a reference to unsaved people, but you know, Christians live that way too. If we're not following Christ, man, we're following the devil and don't even know it. Paul said, you know, I count not myself to have apprehended. One thing I do. One focus. Beginning those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul didn't really speak a whole lot about the abiding relationship, but he put it this way. This is his definition of abiding. I am crucified with Christ. It's crucified life, isn't it? Now, I'm sure you guys hear about that all the time. It's in his spirit. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. It's the exchange life. And gave himself for me. That's how he defines the abiding relationship. How do you abide? Next question. I'm glad you asked. Jesus said this. As the Father, John chapter 15, verse 9, check it out. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue or keep yourself in the love of God. Continue to experience the love of God. Continue in his love. Even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved, I love you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments. How do you abide? Warren Wiersbe says this, quoting that scripture. Obey to abide. You got to obey the word of God to keep yourself in loving favor with God, to keep experiencing that love, embracing that love, so you can express that love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another. The essence. That takes the new and the old commandment to another level. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The next level is love one another the way I love you. The fruit that the Lord is talking about is the fruit of his spirit, love. And the byproduct, joy, peace. So anyhow, conclusion, how do you do that? Well, we just sing about it. Obey. Let's get a little bit more specific. Take time to be holy. Take time to be like Jesus. He's the Holy One. Speak off with thy love. Abide in prayer. Take time to be holy. That's another message. I'm done. Pastor, I turn it over to you. We covered a lot, but it all dovetailed. I want to teach young folks, anybody that's part of that ministry, how to abide. That's what it's all about. Pastor,
I'm glad you're close. Somebody turn.
During our life group, we have material. This is the book we're using right now. It's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of Jude. I sit in the Spanish class. I have an English copy. So I know what's going on. So today, we're studying 1st John chapter 2. And as I was going through my English lesson, obviously, it's talking about love not the world and the things that are in the world. It's talking about the Antichrist and so on. And I just happened to notice this. It says, however, in our present world, we must not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan has no original ideas. Instead, he is a counterfeiter. Then he says, those that follow Satan, or those that are not following Christ, or those that are an antichrist, imitate the work of God. You're an imitator. Note that Satan has counterfeit preachers who preach a counterfeit gospel that will produce counterfeit Christians who will then exhibit counterfeit righteousness. That's the entire essence of the RU ministry. Counterfeit fruit. We talk about it all the time. How do I know if I have counterfeit fruit? Just read the list in Galatians 5. And if that fruit is not of God, produced by God, then it's your fruit and not his fruit. If it's your fruit, it's counterfeit. And if it's your fruit, it stinks. It stinks. It's not, it has a smell to it. It's not attractive because it's not drawing people to the cross. It's not drawing people to Christ. In fact, it's repelling people from you, from God, from the church, from the cross. Because it's counterfeit. It's not authentic. And we've said it many times. Go to Victor Needy's house and meet Bruce. Or any animal for that matter that's a house pet. They'll sniff you. Go to third and fourth grade Sunday school. They'll sniff you too. I mean that in a truly significant way. Children can read you. They know. And it doesn't take much to destroy that transparency. Yesterday we talked about Job. We covered all of Job in 45 minutes. God showed me something about Job I'd never seen before. The entire book is Job 42. How did Job get to Job 42? I'm abhor myself in sackcloth and ashes. There's only two things we know Job for, is his suffering and his patience. James says patience. The entire book of Job is about his suffering. But throughout the entire book of Job, there are things that Job says that are so profoundly foundational about his relationship with God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So God uses three things to break Job. Suffering was God's will for Job to suffer. It was God's will for Job to endure patience. It was God's will for Job to express trust and hope. And because of those three things, that was the crucible that God used to purify the life of the man. How do we know he was purified? Because when he saw God, I abhor myself in dust and ashes. He saw God. That moment, he was prepared to say, oh God, all of my self-righteousness, all that I've lost, all the things that I've defended for the last few chapters. I thought I was right with you. Of course, Job didn't know this, that God had used him as an example for the universe. Have thou considered my servant Job? He was okay then. He had integrity then. But in Job 42, he had complete brokenness. What did that smell like? That was an aroma that God said, I accept Job. When he prayed for his friends, the Bible says God accepted him. Then God gave him twice as much as he had before. Beautiful. Not only that, he gave him 140 years more. I don't think you and I can handle 140 more years. 140 years more for Tony. Man, I can't see it. She'd be dancing the streets long before you got there. So how's your fruit? It's always there, right? We're always talking about the fruit. And doesn't take much, does it, to ruin that, fruit. Cindy, I want to take you to the panano. I don't know what number that is. What was the name of it? Oh. Page 67. God's good, ain't he? All the time, God is good. You can stand with me, 67. Slow that down at least 50%. That's a good tempo. Ready?
Could we with thee the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made where every soul and every man a scribe by trade to write the love.
Brother Tony, you and your wife are dismissed to go in the foyer while we shake down the church for an offering. You may be seated. Cindy's going to play that song through during our offering. If we could have ushers for that, this will be a love offering specifically for Tony, his family, his ministry. Tony's one of our missionaries that we support on a monthly basis. He's on our Hall of Fame, our Wall of Fame in the back of the church. Victor, would you pray for our offering, sir?
Check our food for Father, we need to smell in there, Father, we need to get it right. Father, we ask that you bless the gold offering, Lord, we pray, Father, that you make it go a long way from Brother Christ.
Yes.
Again, we thank you, Lord, Brother Tony and Ron, Lord, we pray, Father, loving for their health, Heavenly Father, and everything that they say and do, Lord, Father, because we know, Father, that they do it because they love you.
According to my bulletin, Matt, you need to have a bulletin because the only people that read them are newcomers. So grab a bulletin and you'll have all the contact information you need on us. Wednesday night, special missionary speaker Mark Palmer, missionary to the basically the athletic ministries across America. Sunday morning prayer meeting at the end of the month, Ladies Connection, October 6th. Yesterday, we had mandate. That'll be a month from now. The Lord's Supper, October 20th, put that on your calendar. Love and Leading Conference. Well, I'm trying to make my invitation only this year in the sense that I'd like to make opportunity for others to be able to go to that conference. Bearing Precious Seed Collating Project the weekend before Thanksgiving, as well as Overcomer movie. Have you seen Overcomer movie? Raise your hand. Awesome. And we're starting to get information as well as materials for Christmas shoeboxes. That's called Operation Christmas Child. So we're working on that. Any other announcements I need to make that you know of? No? Okay. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Jan, would you do that? Oh, is he not here? Jay, would you dismiss us in prayer again? Thank you.
Father, we do thank you. Lord, for the opportunity to